Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Vandal Scoreboard. It has been a month. My name is Mark Warren.
And I am James Torman Aldrich.
And we are back. We have a lot to get into, but first, James, how was your break?
It was good. I went home, saw the family, saw the cats, wrote a little bit about some basketball that was happening, took some photos. I shot some birds, shot some eagles when I was in Coeur d'Alene.
Like with your camera.
With a camera. Yeah, you know, committed a slight felony, but in all the right ways. How was your break, Mark?
It was good. Some travel issues, got stuck on a train for a few hours.
How does that happen?
A freight train derailed ahead of us, and so I missed my connecting train in Portland, and it was a whole issue.
What did you do over break that you went to Portland?
I went down to South Oregon to visit my partner. But I have to take a train to Portland and then down and then up to Portland and then back over to Sandpoint.
Very fun.
Outside of a little bit of being stuck on a train and sitting next to some crazy people, it was pretty good.
That's good. I had no travel issues for the first time ever.
I always have travel issues.
Yeah, see, Lookout Pass was completely clear both on the way there and mostly clear on the way back. Rogers was a little sketchy, as it almost always is on the way back, but... I got back in one piece, and yeah, things have been good.
Great. Well, we have a lot to get into today. Starting off the very serious story that has come out from the Orange County Register about the allegations that have come out about Idaho volleyball head coach Chris Gonzalez. The story kind of details Gonzalez bullying the players and just being really like terrible to them, you know, physically pushing players, not giving them enough food, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, this is a story that, you know, with the allegations, kind of answers a lot of questions that that Vandal fans and alums have had. You know, with the large amount of transfers, and now you get this story from both past and present players that. You know, the allegations against Chris Gonzalez that are serious and that, you know, the university is looking into it. You know, there's a private investigation, you know, firm or whatever that they've hired an outside investigative team, as they stated, to look into this. You know, there have been calls for Coach Gonzalez and even Terry Golic to be put on administrative leave after this.
Yeah.
It's a difficult situation that we don't have a lot of answers to.
Yeah. The story alleges that these players, after the issues with Coach Gonzalez, went to Terry Golic and not much really happened, which is why some people are calling for Golic to be put on administrative leave. As of right now, as of recording, Chris Gonzalez has not been put on administrative leave during this and is still holding practices with the players, you know, and out of the Orange County Register, I believe, yesterday at the time of recording. Players have come out and asked the university to put him on administrative leave.
Yeah, you know, if I'm the university, I look at this situation and I say, how important is it for us to stay out of court? You know, if they were to either put Gonzalez on leave or fire Gonzalez after this, you know, it probably comes with some legal issues afterwards. But at the same time, if even one or two of these allegations come out to be true or are true at this point, you know, this is a situation where you have to take that risk as the University of Idaho.
Yeah. You know, having Gonzalez on, if the allegations are true, could really hurt these players. You know, the report stated that he pushed players to play when they were not cleared by the medical staff, you know, which is really damaging. Tubbs at the Club, another Idaho podcast, had a great episode with Vandal Volleyball Hall of Famer Haley Janzenek, where they talked about the situation. And this is not new for Chris Gonzalez. This is kind of a reputation that he has had.
Yeah, you know, and you look at the article from OCR and, you know, looking back at these not only schools that Coach Gonzalez has been at, but even on the international scene where, you know, things are different on the international scene, I guess. You know, once again, you know, you can't say that these are allegations enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's alleged that the reason that he coached on the international scene is the rules are different. You know, you can push your players in this way. I guess you can withhold food mm-hmm. from players on the international scene, push players over. You know, and this is a situation where, you know, the university has been in hot water before for much lesser reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before Zach Claus took over as the men's head basketball coach, there were, I think, some, you know, either money or recruiting related issues that whoever the head coach at the time before Zach Claus was got fired over. That was brought forth by the NCAA. And this is another situation where, you know, the university has to be careful,
mm-hmm.
but they also have to take players' mental and physical health into consideration above all else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at a coach who has been very successful, especially at Long Beach State, he brings in successful assistant coaches,
mm-hmm.
And assistant coaches who have, in the Orange County Register article said that, you know, the allegations are false. It just, the fact that Coach Gonzalez has had so many opportunities at so many different schools
mm-hmm.
where these allegations were made by players at the schools that he's been at. And then you look at this and you have to kind of think if even one of these allegations from any of the former schools or mm-hmm. current or former players at Idaho are true, how do you not look into that and say, let's hire anyone else?
Yeah. You know, and before this came out, people were already calling for him to be fired. You know, he has won 5 games in the past 2 years. But, you know, I think especially if, depending on the results of this investigation, right, none of this is fully 100% true that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the results of this investigation come out as a lot of people are suspecting they will, I don't know how he could still have a job at Idaho or really anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the only place Coach Gonzalez could even, I think, find a job is on the international scene again.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you're going to have people who actually do their due diligence and look into, you know, this investigation that apparently started in November around legal issues and has been expanded to include climate and culture concerns. You know, this is something that the international scene is going to take seriously, that especially in the States is going to take seriously. I mean, if anything, if these allegations come to be true and the investigation, you know, proves even one or two of them, you know, this might even be a situation where the NCAA bars Coach Gonzalez yeah. from coaching anywhere that the NCAA is a part of. So this is just, it's a story that, you know, is important to get out there,
mm-hmm.
but also important to remember that, you know, the investigation is ongoing. Mm-hmm. We don't have any really answers on the allegations that have been made.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have, you know, what, 13 former players, former coaches who have come out and said that these things are true, it is alarming.
Yeah, and it's something you need to listen to and talk about, because the safety and health of student athletes should be the number one priority of any university.
Absolutely. And even if you look at it as a money standpoint, if Coach Gonzalez sticks around, you know, your funding from alumni don't just go towards one program.
Mm-hmm.
That alumni funding goes throughout the entire athletic department. And this could be something that, you know, makes alumni, and there have already been alumni who have cut yeah. their monthly donations off,
mm-hmm.
Whether, you know, that be $5, $5,000, $50,000
mm-hmm.
that are being donated to the university after this. It's just a situation that if I'm the University of Idaho, I look at the pros and cons of keeping Coach Gonzalez around after this. And, you know, you look at the 5 wins in 2 seasons, mm-hmm. and you look at the probably, what, 20 transfers.
Yeah.
And you take into consideration everything even outside of this. And you look, you look internally and say, this is worth having to pay the $90,000 that his salary would be next year. I mean, they were willing to do it for, mm-hmm. for Paul Petrino. And that was just because he was awful as a coach and had a terrible record over the course of 9 years. And this is one where you could get a lot of alumni support to help cover that cost.
Mm-hmm. Another important thing to mention, this is the same reporter who put out the initial story, put out an update. And this is according to that Terry Golic is set to meet with the players on Tuesday.
Okay.
And that is, if you're looking for more people to follow on this, Trevin from the Lewiston Tribune mm-hmm. Has been really on top of all of this.
I have tried. Mm-hmm. We won't go any further than that.
It's just a hard situation because obviously the university can't really say anything at this point. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of official information coming out.
You know, you reach out to Terry or Jody, and what you're going to hear back is, you know, mm-hmm. it's an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, because that's all they legally can say.
You know, and this is a situation that reporters in Idaho mm-hmm. Have faced at the University of Idaho for the last couple of years. You know, last year with the whole homicide thing where mm-hmm. it was impossible to get information because they couldn't really give information. And now you look at the sports side mm-hmm. of things where it's going to be impossible to get information about this.
You know, and I think, like, the important thing for a lot of people to realize is as much as we all want information, it is so hard to put – because you can't just say everything. Mm-hmm. You can't be an open book in situations like this.
It's also a thing where – you know, these are, if the allegations are true to any degree,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are real life people, real life students with real lives that have been affected. Mm-hmm. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration for anybody reporting on this, is that we are not owed information. We are not owed stories from these students, whether they mm-hmm. be the students who, you know, anonymously went forward to the reporter for the Orange County Register, or the students who were open about it. You know, mm-hmm. Travel Morris, I honestly thought she graduated, didn't realize she transferred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had classes with her. She's a wonderful human being. And, you know, her closest friends, this isn't something that they are entitled to.
No.
Let alone, you know, some stranger from mm-hmm. some random source. And, you know, it's crazy to think that all of this comes out, you know, in, you know, over winter break,
mm-hmm.
you know, students aren't on campus. This is a thing that the university has had time to look over without, you know, having a media circus, so to speak, while students are on campus. And this is something that I think the university will handle in the right way. Mm-hmm. At least I would like to think that.
Yeah.
But it's also something that we can't expect to happen overnight. You know,
no,
it's not like we're going to wake up tomorrow and, mm-hmm. you know, we have all the information or Coach Gonzalez is gone or whatever. This is a situation that's going to take time and needs to be handled with care. And I expect the outside investigative people to do the right thing and, mm-hmm. You know, they've been asked to expedite it, but as the release from the university says, like they ensure that or they don't want to forego quality for speed, and that's something that, you know, this might take a couple of months or, mm-hmm. or even longer before we have any substantial information or before we have results.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it is important to mention that. The statement is that Chris Gonzalez is fully cooperating with the investigation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you hope that I heard that it would still be probably a month and a half, 2 months until we really hear anything from this investigation. So, I mean, like you said, you just have to hope that it is done well. Mm-hmm. You know, speed is not really important to anyone who outside the media. Mm-hmm. You just want, you know, these players to be, you know, as safe and healthy as they can be.
And I also think that another important thing to note here is that, you know, these students have resources on campus that they're going to be able to go to after mm-hmm. this. And hopefully these are resources that are going to be more open to listening to them and mm-hmm. more open to taking what they say into consideration and taking them seriously. You know, with the allegations that were made with students who, you know, the players who went and talked to, you know, whether it be the dean of students or mm-hmm. Terry Golic or President Green or whoever, you know, the allegations made and the report or the story that was written, it makes it seem like these players weren't heard. And we don't know whether that's true or not. Mm-hmm. But if it is, then this is a bigger situation than just Coach Gonzalez.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if that is true, right, and these players weren't listened to, you need to relook at your whole athletic department.
Absolutely.
You know, because that's the number one thing you athletic department should be there for, is for the student athletes who are legitimately putting their lives online every time mm-hmm. they play. You know, because I think people don't realize how, like, intensive, especially sport like volleyball is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a safe thing to do, you know, and so...
I think, you know, now thinking back to this, when I first read the report, and this just popped into my head, the allegations that Coach Gonzalez was putting volleyballs mm-hmm. on the line where that players could potentially trip over... You know, that's a torn ACL, broken mm-hmm. ankle. That's a career-ending injury if you land on a ball. And it was something that scared them to do, that every single player on that court knew, you know, since they started playing volleyball, that you don't do anything if a ball's mm-hmm. in the area. And to have balls lined up on that midline, you know, could have easily ended any one of those players' careers. Yeah. So, you know, you look at the practice, the allegations about practices, about flights, about travel, everything. And it's, you know, if even one mm-hmm. of those things, you know, whether it be the food, whether it be, you know, the physicality of Coach Gonzalez, you know, it's just a situation that probably should have been taken more seriously and that shouldn't have taken a report from a Southern Californian paper mm-hmm. For the university to, especially since they state that the investigation started in November, that the university probably could have been more open about.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is a situation that we will be following and giving any updates that come out about this, but I really don't know how often that will be.
Yeah, this could be something that we, you know, wrap up in a week or two or... Mm-hmm. At the end of the semester.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fully ongoing story, an ongoing situation, investigation, whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. That we will have to be careful and mindful of.
Yeah. Moving on, you know, obviously not to go from a very, very serious thing to a lot less serious thing. Football, obviously season ended against UAlbany at the end of last semester. Pretty immediately, we started to see some transfers.
Yeah, you know, this was a game that even if Idaho had gone to the national championship, mm-hmm. you know, this was a season that we knew we were going to see a lot of transfers.
Yeah.
I personally think that we saw a lot less transfers than we should have.
Probably, yes.
And that the University of Idaho should be thankful that they didn't lose a lot of defensive and offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those positions that you pray don't leave so that you can grow them.
Yeah.
You know, having a bunch of freshmen on the offensive line, you now have those freshmen as sophomores who have game experience. Mm-hmm. I think Coach Ike said there were like 7 freshmen playing on the offensive line this season
mm-hmm.
That are now going to be sophomores with more experience who will be able to better protect the quarterback, who at this point could be Jack Lane.
Yeah.
Could be Jack Wagner. Mm-hmm. Could be Holden B.
Yeah.
If you don't know, that I believe is the brother of famous Idaho women's basketball player Beyonce B, who now plays over at WSU. But this was a tough transfer portal mm-hmm. for the university because it was a lot of big name players.
Yeah.
But other than, you know, Giovanni and Anthony Woods, it was players who had 1 or 2 years of eligibility mm-hmm. left, who wanted to be able to make their name known at a bigger stage.
Yeah, moving down the list, Marcus Harris transferred to Cal. Ormarni Arnold transferred to Cincinnati. Anthony Woods, a big one, going to Utah. Johnny McCoy, like you said, going to Oregon State. Tagana Shise going to Ohio. Xtry Alexander, the stud freshman linebacker, mm-hmm. Going to UCF. Tommy Hauser,
Tommy didn't get a lot of playing time.
Yeah.
I don't know if he got any this season. He's originally from Post Falls, so, you mm-hmm. know, he's one of those Idaho guys. From what I can infer, he's transferred down to the College of Idaho, which I think is going to be huge for him.
Yeah.
You know, get that playing time. Making that drop down for a lot of athletes seems like they're taking a mm-hmm. step down. But for Tommy, this is going to be a huge step for him to be able to get that playing time and that experience on the field.
Yeah, Terez Traynor, no official commitment. That one surprises me that there's nothing, that no official commitment.
Yeah, you know, he's gotten a lot of offers.
Uh-huh.
From what I have seen him post on Instagram, luckily I popped into one of his stories and he was at Coastal Carolina, which was one of the first offers that he got, which would be really funny. It's kind of like Idaho traded TJ Ivey for Terez mm-hmm. Traynor. It just took a little bit. And then also James Madison University, where he had more of kind of like a full media day kind of thing
mm-hmm.
Down there. So I would expect if Terez announces his commitment anytime soon, it's probably to either Coastal Carolina or James Madison University, who just had the opportunity to play in a bowl game because mm-hmm. the FBS is not good enough to produce, 200 3-6-6 bowl teams?
Mm-hmm.
That's a story for a different day.
Terez Traynor, one of the guys kind of overshadowed by both Hayden Hatton and Jermaine Jackson, but a really good wide receiver.
Yeah, the thing with Terez Traynor, you know, he's been injured quite a bit, finally had kind of his breakout season this year, but, you know, also had that lucky kind of pass interference call that mm-hmm. that helped Idaho go into overtime against SIU. The thing about Terez Traynor is, as great of a player as he is, you know, he kind of had to make up for being overshadowed by Hayden Hatton and
yeah.
And Jermaine Jackson. Kind of had this attitude about him that was like, I'm the best wide receiver on the field, look at me,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, which, you know, got us into some foul trouble or, you know, penalties that backed Idaho up a few times. I love Terez Traynor. I think he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. But I think underneath Terez, there are a lot of wide receivers, you know, especially Jordan Dwyer, who's going to make a huge step up this year.
He had a lot of good plays this past year, too.
Yeah, you know, JD is probably going to be, you know, wide receiver one. But Idaho brought in a lot of freshman wide receivers. They just got a transfer from WSU. Where this wide receiver room, who a lot of people are probably concerned about losing Hayden Hatton and JJ and now mm-hmm. Terez, but a wide receiver room that has been stacked, and where we're going to have the opportunity to kind of see some new guys continue the life that Hayden mm-hmm. and Jermaine and others have brought back to Idaho football.
Yeah, Deshaun Swafford, Jalen Grable, and the other big name, Mervin Kenyon, all also entering the transfer portal. I think something that Idaho's really going to have to do, and they've gotten a few transfers, but their defensive back room has really taken a hit.
Yeah, I mean, you lose Mervin, you lose Marcus Harris, mm-hmm. And those are obviously two big names, especially Ormarni Arnold, whose name wasn't really, you know, said a lot, but who had a huge impact on the field. Is going to be a tough loss. I mean, you know you're good if you transfer from Idaho to Cincinnati,
yeah.
and you were the third best DB to transfer,
mm-hmm.
At least in my opinion. But the DB room is also very deep. There's a lot of freshmen, and I would look particularly at Hayden John, who played a lot on special teams, had that blocked kick against SIU, I think it was. You know, but put in the work on special teams, and it is so quick in the backfield. He's a very fast defensive back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not great with football terminology.
I don't know what you would call the area, touchdown zone.
Yeah, you know, the he's very quick, and he's going to be a huge coverage guy that I would expect to pick up a handful of interceptions. Have quite a few pass breakups this year. And just a guy that I think is going to make a big jump, who I was actually very impressed with during fall camp and fall training. And, you know, I don't really know who the other names are. I can't remember who the transfer is that Idaho brought in. But this is going to be a year where Idaho is really going to have to prove itself.
Yeah.
You know, the last 2 years, you have Hayden Hatton and Javonte McCoy and Anthony Woods who have helped bring your program back to the level that it was back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is kind of proving ground for Idaho. Can you continue doing what you're doing without your big three names?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, speaking of the big three, the big three names, looking at the draft, Hayden Hatton, Jermaine Jackson, both declared for the 2024 draft. I know Hogan Hatton will be participating in the pro day. Ricardo Chavez also declared for the draft. And then former Vandal, really great linebacker for us, Paul Mawala, has also declared for the draft after playing for Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Paul Mawala was a guy that I loved watching at Idaho while he was here for that one season. You know, obviously Hayden Hatton is Idaho Vandal football.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not much more that embodies Idaho football than a 6'4", 230 tight end converting to a wide receiver, breaking records, and just being an all-around great guy. You know, in the final press conference that Hayden Hatton, you know, had really, was where, you know, he said he hopes that his kids are going to be Vandals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what you hope to get out of a player, especially one who is, you know, was here through Paul Petrino and through Jason Eck. Then you have JJ, who had as good of a season, really, as Hayden Hatton did last year.
Yeah.
Kind of took a step back in the wide receiver area, but really excelled as a special teams guy, as a kick and punt returner. And then, obviously, Ricardo Chavez, who burst on the scene in Idaho in just 2 years. And has, you know, didn't break records, but put his name in the record books.
Mm-hmm.
I think he finished around ninth in field goals. And to do that in just 2 years is insane. So these are three guys who, you know, I expect to either get drafted or get picked up in undrafted free agency.
Yeah. You know, we were talking a bit before this, but I think Hayden Hatton is a round four, round five kind of wide receiver. You know, he obviously has the hands to play in the NFL. He can catch really well. You know, and I think it would be smart for any teams to take a shot on him.
I also think that they could convert him back to tight end.
Yeah.
You know, he's huge, if you haven't noticed. And he could be a solid blocking tight end, but also a great receiving tight end. You know, and I would expect to see him, as you said, go in the fourth or fifth round. Would really, really love the Patriots to pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
I know you would probably like to see the Giants him up. I would also like to see the Patriots pick up Ricardo Chavez. I think that with the wind in New England, I could probably kick a 60-yarder easy. You know, but it's going to be a good year for Idaho in the draft, you know, which we haven't really seen in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, you had Trey Walker a couple years ago was picked up in undrafted free agency to the Commanders. I think at the time they were called the Washington Football Team, and ended up retiring from football for a day. Getting picked back up, was on the 53-man roster, didn't actually end up on the 53-man roster.
Played for the XFL.
Yeah, played for the Seattle Sea Dragons last year, who apparently no longer exist.
It's because the XFL and USFL, it's now the UFL.
Very unfortunate.
Yeah.
So many things. But, you know, I think that this is going to be a year where, you know, Idaho really puts its name back on the map at the national level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you won't have people calling the University of Idaho the University of Iowa anymore. You know, this is a year where I think Hayden Hatton is going to be the big name that's picked up.
Yeah.
But I also could obviously see JJ get picked up by anyone who needs a kick or punt return.
Yeah, I think Jermaine, I don't know how well he could play at wide receiver in the NFL, but he could be, you know, the Giants need a special teams return guy. So, you know, I'm really hoping we pick him up, but I think he will be a really good punt returner, kick returner, you know, just someone who can take it back to the house.
I've also played a lot of Madden 24 recently. and Christian McCaffrey was my punt returner for some reason. That's just mm-hmm. who the game put there. I would rather have Jermaine Jackson returning yeah. my punts and kicks than Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So, you know,
well, you know, with Jermaine, you know, especially in the playoffs, any kick that went to him, I was, you know, I was with Jaden, who's been on the show before. And I was like, this one's going back, because literally any time they kicked to him, it could have gone back for a touchdown.
Yeah, you know, the first kick against UAlbany that mm-hmm. went for, what, 60-some yeah. odd yards, didn't quite get in the end zone. But that was against a team who had one of the best kick return defenses in the country at mm-hmm. the FCS level. So JJ really proved himself this year. And then Hogan Hatton is another guy mm-hmm. who could be huge for any special teams unit. Was a linebacker when he started here at Idaho, converted to a full-time long snapper. And I think, you know, you don't usually draft a long snapper, mm-hmm. so he might get picked up in undrafted free agency. But I think that this is a draft that Idaho fans can be excited about, mm-hmm. Similarly to the draft a couple years ago that Montana State fans could be excited yeah. about. You know, Troy Anderson, the guy who plays for the Broncos, the guy who plays for the Chargers, whatever their names are. This is going to be, I honestly think, an FCS draft for the ages of FCS yeah. drafts.
Moving on real quick, because we don't have that much time left. The Vandals lost defensive coordinator Rob Aurich to San Diego State, and they just this week hired Vanderbilt's defensive backs coach, Dan Jackson, who also beat the linebackers coach for Idaho. Idaho also lost their special teams coordinator and running backs coach, Thomas Ford, to Oregon State, which is going to be
loss.
Yeah. So one of those guys where I don't know if I ever met him, but I could just tell from the energy on the field that he was a great guy.
You know, in the final game, or the second to last game Idaho ever played against mm-hmm. SIU, or Idaho played this season against SIU, first thing I did after, Idaho wins is Coach Ford is standing behind me somehow. I don't know how Coach Ford got over there so quickly. Mm-hmm. But we hugged and we're, you know, both crying because, you know, biggest win in 30 years mm-hmm. for Idaho. But it's nice to see him move up the ranks even further. You know, yeah. he's made his way from NAIA mm-hmm. coaching at Simon Fraser.
Yeah,
he coaching was at Idaho to yeah. now being in one of the last two Pac-12 teams. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited for him. Obviously, tough loss for Idaho. Mm-hmm. Tough loss personally. Coach Ford is my guy, mm-hmm. as we called each other. So tough loss there. And then also Aurich, who, you know, you look at Idaho's defense,
yeah.
very solid. But I do think change on the defensive front is going to be good for the Vandals.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy, no shade to Rob Aurich, but maybe this guy can teach him how to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be big for Idaho this season.
Yeah, just a quick shout-out to Matthias Bertram, who was the AFCA All-State Good Works team for 2023. Was at the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, it was on live television. I tried to go back when I was watching the Sugar mm-hmm. Bowl, and I couldn't rewind far enough. I was off by like 45 seconds that I could rewind on my grandparents' TV. Dish should get that figured out. So, because mm-hmm. I saw the team come up, didn't realize that Matthias Bertram was there. But that's super cool for Idaho to be able to get that recognition on a national stage.
Yeah, we were going to talk about signing day, but I think we can wait a little until next week, talk about the new players.
We're going to figure out who the transfers are.
Figure out, yeah. But moving over to basketball, men's basketball went 1-4 over the break. They only beat Sac State. They then lost to Portland State 77-72. But they are kicking off full conference Big Sky play the day this is coming out at 4 p.m.
Yeah, this is an Idaho men's basketball team who I don't expect to be 10th in the Big Sky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect them to be first. Hopefully they're, you know, number 6 so that they don't have to play in that, you know, kind of play-in game for the championship. But I expect big things out of this team, especially mm-hmm. now that Taryn Frank has come back, D'Angelo Minnis has come back. Chris Gonzalez told me, please don't fight me for this, Colton McRae. Chris Gonzalez told me he should be back in a couple weeks. He's out with an ankle injury right now. And I'm not exactly sure why Trayvon Blasingame is out right now, but hopefully he might be back for Eastern Washington. I don't know. But this is an Idaho team that fans can be proud of, which is something we haven't been able to say in a while. You know, obviously the teams that Idaho has had recently have been very solid teams that just weren't able to reach the mark that they should have been able to, for coaching reasons. You know, you could throw Alex Pribble to the team last year or the year before, you know, when I first got here, and, you know, Alex Pribble could have probably taken them to the promised land. So I think this is a team that fans should be excited about, fans should show up for, especially for that game against Eastern Washington, technically today when this goes out. But more importantly, the Idaho women's basketball team is just
five straight.
A joy to watch. They've lost one game on the road. They've struggled at home. Their one loss on the road was to Oregon by like 7 points. But, you know, they're a top team. They're a legitimate team. The only thing that I see is that it's not going to be the same team next year just because you have so many older players. But I think that's also, you know, what you need when you're rebuilding a team is they've started out hot because they have this experience. But this team is also one that works so well together. They're friends on and off the court, care about each other, have this chemistry. I'm not exactly sure how good the Eastern Washington's women's team is. I know the men's team is pretty solid. They beat Portland State by like 30. And then Portland State went on to beat Idaho. So
the women's team is 12-3 right now.
That's tough.
Yeah.
But also a good challenge for Idaho. You know, they lost on the road to Eastern last year, beat them at home. You know, that might be a different story this year because it seems like the Idaho women's team can't get over that D1 hump when they play in ICC Arena. But this is a game that I'm excited for. You know, obviously it's not as important to me as, you know, Idaho State or Montana State or, you know, those bigger games against kind of those rivalry teams. But this is I'd say for both the men and women, this is a proving ground game. I think if the men either win or keep it within, you know, seven, I think that proves that this Idaho men's team is legit.
Yeah.
I fully think the women can win this, but even, you know, playing a 12-3 team, if they can keep it close, I think that this is a game that you're okay with a moral victory.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking at the rest of the season, this is a game that will probably determine Big Sky tournament seeding, even though it's the fourth game in conference play. Also, want to give a shout out to the women's basketball team for at least trying to keep the Big Sky and the Big Sky Summit Challenge, because nobody else showed up on January 6th. You know, the men didn't even play, which is going to be huge for the men that they didn't have that game on the 6th against whatever team it was that decided to leave the Summit Conference. But, you know, five-game winning streak. Now, granted, their most recent win was against an 0 in, I think, now 22 Chicago State team.
It still counts.
But it's still a dominant win.
Yeah, and building that momentum is so important. Five straight wins. You know, and they barely lost that sixth game to Grand Canyon University. I believe it was a two-point game.
Yeah, it was an overtime game that I knew was going to be fun because I watched last year's game. You know, it was one of those games where you look at the team from last year and you say, darn it, the transfer portal really hurt us here. Because Sydney Gandy was the one who hit that buzzer beater three to send it into overtime and then won it for Idaho. But I'm excited for what this team is going to prove this season because there's no expectations. You know, for the men are expected to finish 10th by both the media and coaches. The women, I think, are predicted to finish around 5th or 6th.
Yeah, I think they were 6th or 7th.
Yeah, and they even might be near the top of the Big Sky right now. Because they're 2-0 against Big Sky Conference teams, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
So, you know, they're when Jaden wrote the article, they were one of four 2-0 teams, so I think they were 3rd or 4th.
Yeah, they're 3rd right now.
Who's above them? I'm guessing Eastern and
Northern Arizona, both 2-0. Eastern is 12-3, and Northern Arizona is 10-5.
Yeah. So, and then Idaho's.
Idaho's 9-5, 2-0 in conference.
So this is obviously a big game. You know, could bump them up to the 2 spot overall in the Big Sky Conference, but also to the 1 spot in the Big Sky. But even, you know, even a close loss here, I would take.
Yeah. You know, I'm excited to get to see both of these teams because it feels like for the first time since we've been here, there's like the women's team had some excitement before, but there's some real excitement about basketball on campus.
You know, and I think the best thing for Idaho was bringing in these coaches that have energy and that, you know, I don't want to say that John Newley and Zach Claus didn't care about the program or care about their players. Mm-hmm. John Newley especially did. But Kerry Amy and Alex Pribble, it feels like not only do they care about their players, but they care about their students. They care about the community. They want to make the connections that, you know, Jason Eck has made with the community and with the students. You know, maybe Alex Pribble can say, students, it's snowing, and get a meme for him. I think that's the funniest thing to ever happen. Shout out to Zach for posting that video last night. What a guy. But, you know, this is a team that I'm excited for, that that I'm okay with the losses, that I'm going to stick with through the losses, that fans are going to stick with through the losses, whereas, you know, for the last couple of years, it hasn't felt like that. You know, you get the crowd to come to the games, and then you lose a game, and all of a sudden the crowd's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Whereas with this women's team, you can get, you know, 700 to 1,200 fans every single night.
Yeah.
Because that energy and that connection is there. And I think Coach Amy and Coach Pribble have done the Lord's work when it comes to what they have done for the University of Idaho.
Absolutely. Well, I believe that is all the time we have. So thank you all so much for listening. I've been Mark Warren. You can follow me on Twitter or X at MarkWarren1832.
And I'm James Torman Aldrich. You can follow me on X at JamesAldrich25.
We will be back next week. Bye, everyone.